Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shaped the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to Leicester United We Stand podcast. It's post-match after United's draw against Bournemouth. I'm absolutely mob-handed here with people who are clearly, I can't see any way this podcast is going to go well at all, actually. Largely because everybody's in a foul mood and at least two of the people here are absolutely pissed off the faces. So, I don't know, you reckon you've had 4 pints?
Four?
Yeah. He's been spiked to me. Anyway, Stu Edwards is here, Ant Shaw's here. And we've got Ben Holt here, who's going to stick a guest appearance in. Aaron Buckley's here, John Aston's here, and Bloomy's here, looking a little worse for wear.
Against his religion.
Yeah, it is against his religion, yeah.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Anyone who stays up all night waiting for Stormzy to come in and Megastore's all right by me. Before we get on to today, we need to try and say something remotely motivating for anyone listening. And I was going to ask about how we went last week, because I thought Wembley was a top day out.
Yeah, I took my lad, so it was a good experience.
You're telling me your lad was skiking his eyes out at 2-1, is that right?
He cried when Southampton scored before half time, so I had to try and explain to him that we probably were quite lucky to be winning at half time, and we were still winning. And then obviously we queued for like 16 minutes to go to the toilet, and then by the time we got back in, a minute later they equalised, so that didn't go down well either.
Good job you didn't bring the poor fucker here today, to be honest with you. And you have a good day.
At Wembley or today?
No, Wembley. Let's do Wembley first.
Yeah. I had a great day. I went on a minibus. weren't too bad. The driver like kept braking, slamming his brakes on every 5 minutes, and we're trying to have a piss in the back. So it was a bit of
this
a bad
was
day.
He used to drive our coaches. He's a City fan, that lad. Yeah, he's a good lad. He's done a couple of extras for us before, but he did a minibus to QPR once, and he leant down and got something out of the glove compartment while in the fast lane doing about 120. Nut job. Do we at Wembley?
Yeah, top day.
Good day.
On the back of the Wenger bus with Ant. Yeah. Drive a bit dodgy, robbed out beers, but other than that, sound.
You were in dry dock on the way home, weren't you?
Yeah, I was sobering up, yeah.
Murder that, innit?
It's awful, innit? Yeah. I'm never doing that again. Never doing that again. I got in and had a shower, and the missus said, "Why have you had a shower?" I said, "Where do you want me to start?"
It always is a bit sus when the bloke walks in a house and immediately has a shower, isn't it? Let's face it. Doves, me and you were getting... We were doom merchants at half-time, weren't we?
We were talking about there, thinking that 2-0 the game's dead and buried, but that's the goal that went in. I mean, you couldn't really argue with it, could you? You know, to be 2-1 up at half-time, we were quite lucky about it, but in the end it all turned out quite well. And you'd rather win it the way we did than see the game out comfortably at 2-3-0, wouldn't you? For that bullying.
Yeah. How was your day?
Yeah, I was on the bus with Aaron, Shaw and Ben. Yeah.
he was on the
basically
wagon. He was on the wagon, and now he's not.
All I could see.
Are you the reason why
Aaron needed a shower?
There was one point during that journey. There was no bug on that bus. Just remember, one of the lads peed into an Evian bottle and just chucked it out the window, and just could see it. Got a load of piss going over a Volvo on the N6.
Was the red bit off the top of the bottle?
Yeah.
Or was that?
I guess this is going to end up like when George Best was on Wogan. one thing that
why are we laughing so much?
Oh dear. Well, we've got to get it out, yeah, because doom is imminently round the corner. One thing I was going to do, right, is unbeknownst to, I don't know if you've seen it, sort of in the background on Twitter without actually tagging any of us in, people have been actually giving us a bit of grief for the fact that we've been giving Ibrahimovic a really hard time. So I thought, do you know what, this podcast next week is going to be a great opportunity to actually say, look lads, we've been a bit harsh on him, but what a performance he, you know, he put in at Wembley and really, really started off. But and he had a good game today, didn't he?
just on last week, I think that it did help that the winner, the keeper, dived out of the way of it, didn't it? Because it was straight at him, and then.
Yeah, Bollock should have been in net last week. Last time wouldn't have scored.
No, he wouldn't have got anything, would it? Yeah, he did put to his credit last week, because I'm going to give you plenty of opportunity in a bit to say your piece about today. That was it was some effort for him.
No, he's a really good player. I compare he doesn't the fact that he's missing a lot of chances, and you know United are having a lot of home draws, doesn't make him a bad player. My argument's always been I'm not 100% sure he's right for our team, because it's a bit like when Van Nistelrooy used to score all our goals. We ended up better off without him, you know. And I do he's not a bad player. He's a great player. And but if you know, if we're getting Griezmann or someone else like that next year, and he can't come off the field, we never sub him, plays 90 minutes of every game, especially when Rooney's on the field with him and Mata, I just think we look really slow. So my sort of players that I like watching are Martial and Rashford for United. And for today, you know, Ibrahimovic, although last week he did really well, today again I thought he could have been brought off again.
Yeah. We'll come at that in a bit, Aaron. Strong side that United put out, wasn't it? You'd have expected them to put they put a shift in Bournemouth, but they're not quality footballers. We should have buried them off the park with that side.
Well, yeah, first 25 minutes, the amount of chances we created, we should have been outside, shouldn't we? Yeah. Every single home game, I seem to say the same thing. We got the goal.
Everyone says that.
Yeah. At home against sides like that, go out 2-0 up in the first 20 minutes. I know when we did it a few weeks ago, I complained, but but yeah, you just need to get around the back of players. And just going back to Zlatan, I think it just makes us a bit one-dimensional in attack, because we seem to think that the way out is just to pump diagonal balls in. And you know, I've been a centre half myself, albeit not a very high standard. And it's the easiest way to defend. Once you've got a diagonal ball coming in, you've got a striker in front of you, and the chances of him bringing it down and turning you, like Chris Smalling did last week, are very slim. I just think it makes us very one-dimensional.
Thoughts on the side? It was a strong team for United, wasn't it?
Yeah, I didn't expect Luke Shaw to be starting, so that was maybe a bonus. But it did okay first game back. But yeah, it was probably the strongest 11, maybe. Probably the strongest 11 we could put out, barring maybe Mkhitaryan for Mata or Rooney, I'm guessing. So, like Aaron just said, I missed the first 5 minutes. I believe we should have been 2-0 up in 5 minutes, I believe. I think Pogba had another one-on-one, which he fluffed. Yeah. But first 20 minutes could have been 4 or 5-0, game over.
I'm going to come at you, because it sounds like your prayer calls. Yeah,
I know, yeah. No, we were saying before the game, as soon as I saw the side, I thought we were... It was enough to win the game, the team that we put out. The annoying thing was, I said it before the game, if we didn't take our chances today, it's top four is going to be the end of that, I think. Yeah.
Can't have been easy for you to say that.
I thought the team were brilliant, and I thought we played really well first half. First half today, I thought it was the best United played in the league for about 3 months at least. Yeah, I really do think that. And then I thought it was half time is where we just especially the substitutions after that, we were just absolutely clueless.
It was the sending off that did it all, didn't it? Yeah. You know, when they were having a goal defensively, they were shocking. When they realised we were down to 10 men and realised they had to sit back and defend, we couldn't break them down.
But was that different to any other time that we've played against a team with 10 men? Every team that's down to 10 men reverts to that.
It didn't. What I'm saying is the reason why we were so good was because of our attacking and how open they were for that first half an hour. As soon as they went down to 10 men and they realised they're going to have to put everyone behind the ball, we looked clear. We just panicked.
We
needed someone in that second half to go, there's 25 minutes to go, lads, just calm the fuck down. Yeah. So the pinging balls here, then everyone, just take your time and the chances will come.
What were you, Ant reckons that was a really strong United first half performance. What do you think?
Strong. They were going down the wings, which was opening them up. Yeah. Second half, as soon as they went out to 10 men, like what Dove said, they just started lumping it. Carry on going down the wings and spreading the fucking pitch. That's all we've got to do against. Yeah, stretch the play. Don't get it.
The annoying thing is that first 25 minutes was probably the best I've seen us. Like, in terms of chances, attacking, that's the best 25 minutes I've seen us this season. That, I really do believe that.
They showed a bit of naivety, didn't they? Especially Rashford and Lingard when they came on. I didn't think that they played particularly well. And they were just making stupid decisions, you know, just little things like when Rashford barged that lad down the tunnel, almost, well, the old tunnel, and yeah, it's just thick. It's just thick football. You know, if you're playing against 10 men, like we say, get it wide, get round the back of them, because you're not going to break them down. We didn't break Hull down for 90 minutes.
It showed, to Mourinho at one point, even he like made point of that, saying like, without 10 men, why are you panicking, lumping these balls forward? There was no need to do that. If we showed a bit of patience, penalty aside, we should have gone on to win that game.
Yeah, but those types of balls, which Carrick and Pogba continue to try to find Zlatan, like 30-yard, like I said, the diagonal ball, it's got to be an absolute perfect pass to get over and above the centre half. Then you've got to rely on Zlatan being onside, which he plays right on the edge.
Then you've got to control it.
Exactly,
which gives the defender time
to
get back.
I think they tried it 7 or 8 times, and it was like, fucking hell. I think even Fellaini tried to do it once when he came on. And he struggles to a 5-yard sideways pass, let alone a 30-yard forward pass.
I thought Pogba, you know, came under some like unfair criticism at start of the season, but I've got to say today, absolutely shambolic winning. And he's lucky that, you know, the crowd didn't get on his back more, because he gave the ball away every time he had it in that last half
just,
an hour.
Just before we get into second half stuff, because I think that's a spot on point it backs up something we've been saying on here a few times this season. Obviously, United won up through what seemed like a fairly stuffy goal. And then obviously that penalty. I mean, that, if anything, summed Phil Jones up in the space of 1 minute. It was that, wasn't it?
Yeah. He's just clumsy, isn't he? He can look class for 25, 30 minutes and then clumsy. Just sums him up.
You can tell by the crowd noise. There's no noise because everyone just sat there and thought, yep, fucking penalty.
It was 100% a penalty. I've defended Jones.
It was 100% Phil 100%, Jones.
Yeah, it was. But I mean, to be fair, I've defended him. I think he's had a good season and he had a shocker of a game today. But the point still stands that the headlines tomorrow will read Phil Jones has given a penalty away that's cost us points. Yeah. But forget him, that Ibrahimovic, you people, you know, last week you dickhead like that horse starving cunt, Mick Quinn and all them lot, they were still. They were still going on about, Ian Rich has carried United at times. We've been mid-table, this, that and the other. We wouldn't have been today, but for Ian Rich has cost us 2 points today with the chance. Yeah. We should have been 5-0 up by the time Phil Jones made that tackle.
Yeah, totally agree with you. He was actually charged with neglect of horses by the pretty BHA, so it can probably stay in
this
that.
This can stay in the podcast.
Just obviously, at 1-0 though, there was still no danger given what happened a couple of minutes later when just before obviously what went on, there were some meaty challenges going in Dom Verde's place. Luke Shaw caught for a few.
I thought Harry Arter won on Carrick got up, I think luckily for him, but he went back and bucked him. And also the lad that got sent off on half time, his first yellow card, I thought that was a red card on Luke Shaw. On
someone told me the wrong person got sent off, is that true?
No, he got second yellow. It was a push, but he
might be totally wrong here, but how I saw it was Mings stamped on Ibrahimovic's head, which the referee didn't see, and Ibrahimovic then got him back, which he probably should have been second yellowed for, because the referee saw that, but he didn't see Mings. But the reason he was sent off was that I think he was asking the ref to send Ibrahimovic off.
He pushed him and Ibrahimovic fell over.
He raised his hands, pushed him.
So he gave him a yellow card for that, but then forgot that he'd already booked him, didn't he?
Forgot about the guy crushing his skull, basically.
So was it a bad stamp? Because I haven't seen it.
It's horrific. One of the worst I've seen, definitely. Genuinely.
Looks at him, puts his foot right on the back of his head.
So
could have killed him.
Sounds like he's just done everything that Ant wants to do too much.
No, I think it's unfair. Can he get? I do like him.
Can he get? Look like Saturday night outside the Ashton Arms.
Can he get?
Don't think he's as invaluable as everyone else.
I kind of agree with that.
Have a good local pubs.
Yeah. Sounds like inside the Ashton Arms.
If you looked at it again afterwards, he looks at him on the ground and then directly targets his head and stamps on it. It really is bad.
He's seen it 3 times all at once.
That's it, basically.
What can he get done retrospectively for that then? Or
Ibrahimovic and both Bings will. So he'll probably miss the Chelsea game. So
does that not though? I mean, for me though, Ibrahimovic played pretty much the rest of that game. One daft little tackle or one little clip or one word sideways from getting sent off, and that made him not getting subbed, as well as the performance, even more bizarre to me.
Well, yeah, never comes off, does it? I mean, Juan Mata finished the game today. That's I've got to be honest, I just didn't get them subs whatsoever. It's like, it's panicking. It's like, change the whole shape of your team. I couldn't tell you where Fellaini was supposed to be playing. He's either right back or centre half.
Sweeper, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, just keep, yeah, just
I'd
you know,
have a sweeper, all right. sweeping his shit up outside the ground.
I thought we just had to bring a, you know, a quick winger on for Mata and move him inside if he was staying on, and I thought we'd have won the game. Mix.
You know the elbow. You know the Aguero one earlier this season. Did he get three matches for that?
Yeah, he's getting
yeah, you're right. If he got a second yellow today.
The thing is though, he did speak to him after that challenge. He spoke to him after that challenge. Yeah. But would it still stand? Retrospectively. let me say that again. Retrospectively.
Well done. Yeah. Yeah. Well, if it had been second yellow card, that's one match ban, isn't it?
Shut up.
It's like having David Sin back for that derby game.
Just because your music stopped. Go on. Yeah, it'd have been one match, and then he's going to get three probably for the elbow, so it'd be four matches, wouldn't it? So how he didn't come off and just shove Rashford up front, I do not know. Yeah. But he's just unsubbable, isn't he? Is that a word?
Unsubbable. I don't know, but in Bloomy's world, it probably is.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.
Right, Pogba second half. I thought that was as bad a performance as he's put in since he's been here.
Yeah. Worst, definitely the worst I've seen him play, and he didn't learn from his mistakes, did he? Because he just kept like trying to lump the ball into like their area from a central position.
Cleberson back.
Yeah, he's just like, really wants.
It's one too many touches with him all the time, and even on the edge of the box, just get the ball, pass it, and then get in the box yourself rather than take someone on, then take him on again, then do a side, you know, look sideways and pass it.
I thought he was very symbolic of how we played. I thought when we played well early on, he was great. In the second half, when we started panicking and we started lumping and trying to do everything all at once, I thought that's when he suffered. And
he did panic. He was psychotic.
Yeah.
You know, he's waving his arms around and Mata's running around.
I think the fact that Herrera wasn't there either, so that's made him play deeper. So he's not going to get. Yeah.
Definitely sent off today.
Yeah. Well, yeah, probably.
It was that type of game where there was little studs being put in there. There was tackles going in a little bit higher than they should have done.
That was Eddie Howe's half-time talk, definitely. Yeah. And it's worked.
Right.
It's exactly what you said at half-time. They've gone and done, haven't they?
There's no one I hate in football more than Eddie Howe, lads.
Harry Howe to me.
Eddie Howe.
You've got to call him full name as well.
Eddie Howe, admittedly, he's done all right at Bournemouth, right, on both occasions, although he got a bit scared when he came up north for a few months and had to go home. But if ever anybody ever epitomised what I think a grass looks like, or someone at school who used to just tell the teacher about everything, it's
what's
Eddie
that one?
Fucking
football's from the 60s, don't you?
Looks like someone said he looks like a satellite dish.
Yes. I think he looks like an X-Factor judge.
Yeah, he's got that just smugness, that smarminess, he's got that all about him. And the fact that he's gone away from this point now, which will probably think he'll put him right in the frame for the Arsenal job, just makes me sick. It really does.
Barcelona.
Yeah, I was actually gutted that we didn't call the game off a minute before kickoff again like we did last year, so they could start whinging again. And the subs, three all at once, that didn't make sense to me.
No, I thought United just needed to stay calm, take Mata off the right because he was a bit slow on that side, bring Rashford on that side, move Mata inside if he was staying on, and I thought we'd have won the game. I don't know why we've all of a sudden went to three at the back, including Fellaini, and started banging the ball.
Well, three at the back made sense because we were a man
up. That. Yeah, Mata did actually start to walk towards the touchline, didn't he?
He did.
Alex Ferguson subs are the one as that 4-1.
The three, it was just disjointed. Fellaini was coming on trying to tell two or three players where to play, and it was like, who's where now? What's going on?
One's going to listen.
The thing is, there was a bit of him saying calm down. Mourinho saying calm down, and he brings three on at the, like that, and it's not going to work.
Retrospectively, what would you think?
It's the word of the day, that.
Yeah, it is. Try saying it again. Try repeating that word back later on.
He panicked by bringing them three on straight away like that. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Aaron, on the subs, Ant was kicking off about the fact that all our width got taken off, which I think is a valid point. But the thing that I noticed was He also took the pitch leadership off with Rooney, who was probably that person who was going to make some smart calls and smart decisions. Same with Carrick. He took the pitch leadership off as well in one go.
Yeah, we needed a bit of experience. I think our lack of inexperience showed in that final 15 minutes or so. I can't remember too many clear-cut chances we created. He brought them on before the penalty, did he? That was probably the only chance we had in the last 20 minutes that was clear-cut. Mourinho's made a bit of a name for himself about swinging three subs on at once, and I think he was probably thinking about himself a bit too much.
I can't remember the last time I saw that happen. I can't remember the last time I've seen it.
I think he has.
Does it? Doesn't it?
Didn't he at Chelsea? He did it at Newcastle.
Yeah, after 18 minutes or something.
Yeah. I thought Rooney was one of our better players today as well.
Cheers, Bloomer.
We're not talking about that. So, although our width did go, it shouldn't have done, should it? Because the players he brought on, Rashford, Lingard, you shouldn't get sucked into the middle there. Yeah. But I think we just got caught up into thinking about, we'll just pump diagonal balls in and one will fall for us, and it didn't, did it?
Who would you have taken that penalty?
You'd have to let him take it, wouldn't you? You know, he's not missed one yet for us. Has he missed one? You'd have let him take it, wouldn't we? You know, if you're going to put anyone on a penalty, he'd be the one. But I just thought that the whole second half, when it come from the bench, the team, he just stunk of panic a little bit. That with desperation that we get, especially against 10 men when you're expected to win. But
do you think it stunk of panic, or if it stunk of panic prior to that, I think it stunk of arrogance and complacency that we were going to win it.
Well, the best period of the game today, I know people will blame it on the sending off, or you know, the equaliser. We played brilliant, I thought, until we scored. And then once we went 1-0 up, it was like, this is going to be a stroll in the park today. We can cut through these at will. And then by the time we then needed to think, hey, you know, we need to graft a bit here, it all gone a little bit. We'd lost our shape. We'd lost that like Aaron said there, we were cutting in behind him at the back and getting in out wide. And I think we just lost that a little bit in that second half.
I didn't think we were going to win that game.
No.
Even, you know, we got the penalty. I weren't convinced we were going to score. It's all right, easy for me to say that now, but... I just didn't think that it was going to happen. They were doing their best, going down with cramp, whatever we were up with them, breaking it up. There were a few tackles going in. I think there were about 10 minutes of play, and we probably only saw the ball being passed around for two of it because of what was going on.
I think as well, you see in second half, in the first half when Martial got the ball, he ran at him either on the outside or cut inside. No, second half, as soon as he got the ball, He'd cut in and then just chip it in the box and it'd get cleared again.
He had a period of about 10 minutes of just not even being... How come only 5 minutes was added on at the end of that game? Because I could have probably put that down for about 15.
Well, what about the first half?
Yeah.
3 minutes, which he played 2 minutes of, but that should have been 7 or 8. So, fuck knows. Second half was 5, wasn't it?
I really struggled to get at the referee when... the referee made loads of mistakes today. I mean, how he didn't send Arter off in the second half as well, do you know, after that... He slid in on Pogba, didn't he, when he'd gone past him? But there's no point blaming the referee, is there, when you can't break down 10 men? And I can't remember a chance second half. I really can't, apart from the penalty, obviously.
I'm not blaming the referee. You know, we've missed a penalty and we've not been able to break 10 men down. Yeah. But, you know, to give that penalty for what he did and then not give the handball a few minutes later when he's clearly had more time to get his body out of the way, and his arm's still gone up. I think it was the same guy.
The referee kind of inadvertently ended up at the right place at half-time, because what should have happened was he sends a player off and the palaver that happens after it doesn't happen anymore for down to 10 men. In the end, he doesn't send him off. He then doesn't send the player off from us and end up sending the wrong one off. So it's still down to 10 men like they should have been. It's just all gone about arse about face.
Got there in the end, didn't he? His mass seat would say, I want to know, you need to show you're working out on this one. So obviously that's a really disappointing draw, which goes in the same draw as the draw against Stoke and Burnley and
not a coincidence,
Hull. Another number of these results that keep occurring at Old Trafford.
In Old Trafford at home now, we've won 6 out of 14 home games.
Disappointing, isn't it? You know, it's absolutely appalling, and it's kind of Moyes-esque, isn't it, in the terms of the form, and we're getting away with it at away games. So
it seems to be in the cup games they've got freedom in that, and it's as soon as it gets back to the league, it's the pressure.
Nine at home in the cup and 6 out of 14
exactly.
in the league.
It's the pressure of trying to get in the top four in the league, and that, I don't know why, they just seems to just seem well under it. That's the annoying thing. We should have won that. Should have won it.
Excellent.
Not been beaten.
It's
still
so frustrating.
Of course, we're still fucking sixth.
if we won today, we were guaranteed to be fifth.
We would have been top four today.
Are we definitely sixth? Are we definitely six?
Yeah.
Everton can't go above us even if we win tomorrow.
Forever.
Yeah.
Six forever.
Do you think United will finish top four?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Based on the cups
yes
we're
no?
still in, no.
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 Yeah.
No, but we'll win the UEFA Cup, whatever it's called now.
Yeah, no, no.
No, I don't think we'll finish top four either, but I, like you, think that
think
Europa League...
Today. Europa League's got to be the main...
I think so, thing, yeah.
I think we'll actually start... I really think now we've got to go all out for Europa League, haven't we? Including resting players in the FA Cup.
I think I'll play the fucking reserves at Stamford Bridge, hoping we get beat. He won't be asked about that, I don't think.
Well, I think... I'll tell you one thing he won't want at Stamford Bridge is to get drubbed again. Well,
no.
Yeah,
no.
But...
I think he'll play a full team, in all games. But
it's 9 days.
I think there's got to be a moment soon where we start looking at league games for resting players, because you know that's the top four's just looking further away all the time, isn't it?
The frustrating thing is today. You know, we've talked about before how, you know, we played after teams today with the first fixture of the weekend. We've got a chance to put some points on the board. Like Liverpool and Arsenal are going to drop points, whatever, come what may. Our five today. A few weeks ago, everyone dropped points against Hull. Yeah. We didn't do it against us every single time.
It's happened too many times now.
There was a lot of similarities today with the whole game, because I thought the last 20 minutes were exactly the same. We were just lumping high balls forward rather than trying to break a team down properly.
I'll tell you, it's probably the first midweek for ages we've not played midweek, and yet we looked leggy, tired, and almost like we'd played on a Thursday night, didn't we?
Yeah, I think if you're starting the game with Carrick, Rooney, and Shaw, because judging by his subs, he seemed to have that planned before the game that they needed to come off. So if like two, just say for instance Carrick could have stayed on, but Rooney and Shaw were the ones that needed to come off after an hour, that's what he had in mind all the time. We shouldn't have been starting the game with them three. You know, I know we weren't moaning about the team to start with, but I didn't know that all them three probably needed to come off.
Yeah.
Obviously Shaw did, because
they need games, yeah. But bring them the other day you bring them on when the game's won sometime.
Yeah. I think Rooney's just the perfect sub for United now, and we need a bit of aggression, because
and he seems to have accepted that a little bit, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, yeah, because today although we played well in the first half, he was missing a bit, weren't he? I don't remember him doing anything. And then
he didn't do out wrong, but he didn't do a lot right.
No.
Right, well, he did do out wrong. I think that was the way.
And I thought, you know, I'd much rather have like a player with a bit more pace on the field to start with, and then bring him on later.
I don't think in the second half we used Martial half as much as we should have, because in the first half he had that right back in his pocket the entire game, and I don't think we come anywhere near to using him like we should have done.
Yeah.
The annoying thing is, he's not using the full squad in these like cup games, like. Next week we've got Rostov. I'd send half a side out there, but he's not.
You need to win it. Can't lose.
It's worth taking our 50% decent side out there.
Alex Ferguson's not the manager second anymore. Leg, you can't get a result with Rostov.
The amount of games we've got left. You've got to use the old squad. You have to.
United's biggest.
I could. Seriously, we could take 50% squad out there and get a decent result.
We'll see what happens on there. Is it Thursday?
Yeah.
Yeah. The
we're not in Champions League.
It won't be. What's it going to be like? Is it going to be frozen to fuck over there, or is it all normal?
11 degrees.
No, it's all right. It's probably warmer than it is here.
Someone said
11 degrees.
He's familiar with Black Sea borders.
Normally, fucking stews Michael Fisher. So
he's clearly been sat in a pub drinking non-stop whilst reading stats and the weather forecast on the internet. For Rostov away, yeah. I'm going to close very, very quickly before... I'm going to ask you one more last thing, actually, before I ask you for a man of match. One bit of United news this week, Michael Carrick, testimonial, deserved?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yep. There's Rooney as well, isn't there? But probably our best servant along with Rooney in the current squad, yeah.
Yeah, deserves his testimonial, doesn't he?
He does, but he's talking about now that Hargreaves and Tevez are going to be playing and Ronaldo isn't, so he can fuck off.
I think if there's one player who probably does deserve the appreciation, because I don't think he's had it to the levels that perhaps he should have done, not just in United but in football,
England as well. Yeah, definitely. And you know, when we bought him, it was like, oh, he wasn't worth 16 million because from Spurs, you know, people said it was probably worth that 9 or 10 million. And the reason why he was 16 is because we wanted him, but you know, 16 million, absolute snip, you know, absolutely brilliant.
When we signed him, I set up a group on Facebook saying Michael Carrick is the £16 million Nicky Butt. What a tiss I look.
Yeah. He's been a brilliant player. He has been a fantastic player, and if you like.
Did you get many members to that?
I think I've got 38.
Just, yeah. Well,
I've one of them.
Yeah, I hope they've all been captured by now. I think, do you know what, though? I thought it was quite interesting about that. June the 4th against some all-star gimmicky team, as opposed to sort of early August against a decent European team, for me suggests that that may be time up for him.
Yeah, I think he was left it till the very last minute to give him one this year, so probably not got one another year in him. And I think United are planning to spend quite big on the midfield again in the summer. So
if there's one player I would definitely put in the coaching staff at United, it would be Michael Carrick. Do you think United should try and hang on to him?
Yeah, people always say this, but it's about a lot of players, don't they, that end up leaving. Like, I heard it saying that Rio Ferdinand should be a coach at United and all sorts, but it's their career's finished. It's where they want to live, isn't it? That's an important thing. Like,
the important thing with United as well, we've had that many great players. How do you keep making jobs for all these people? You know, there's only so many jobs.
It's not going to be many places left.
I know, but the thing with Carrick is he's role model from a professionalism point of view. He understands what it's like at other clubs, unlike people who've been here all their careers. And I think if anyone's going to set an example of how to behave, how to be professional, I think it's him, and I just think you need people like that in a club.
Could say that about Scholes and Giggs, though, and we've just let them go.
No, because they've only
described Eddie Howe.
Panic the grass.
Yeah, there is that. I have just described, yeah. No, but he was decent, wasn't he? He was all right. Right, man of the match. Pick a United man of the match, if you can.
Fucking hell. Eddie fucking I'm really struggling for this one. Probably Martial, just based on his first half an hour.
Say Valencia, mate.
Yeah, probably Valencia.
Star of the new cover, the curse of the new cover didn't go against him.
De Gea.
I'm struggling to think of anyone who played well. You're picking the best of a bad bunch. Oh, we played all right first half when Carrick was in midfield. I'll probably give it Carrick.
Between Valencia and Rooney for me.
Okay, I asked you to pick a man of the match.
Between the two, I'd say.
So
I'd say Valencia. I'd say Valencia. Valuni. Yeah.
Valuni. Valuni's the man of the match. Right, I'm going to go for Valencia, and I'm going to end this absolute shambles right now. So Stu and Ben, Aaron and. And especially you, believe me, and Dubs.
Did you actually press record?
Yeah, thankfully. Unfortunately, I did. Yeah, I can see it was in front of me. Next podcast, when's the next game? We got Rostov at home. Cannot wait. That's smack bang in the middle of Cheltenham week, so we might end up talking about horse racing then. Nice one. Cheers, lads.
See
ya. Right, that's enough from us. Disappointing day for United. Missed opportunity. We seem to be saying that far too many times this season. So United remain in sixth place. Big missed opportunity for us to gain a bit of momentum that gets us towards fourth, for those that are bothered about that sort of thing. But I would imagine that the manager and the squad are extremely disappointed with the result after the momentum and the highs of last week's win at Wembley. So that's it from us. We'll be maybe back midweek at the Rostov game, if we can find somebody who's going, who can record it for us, but we'll see what happens with that one. I'm not going, and he's not going, so we'll see what happens where that one's concerned. We'll definitely be back for the next game after that with the usual stuff. If you didn't get the new mag today, cracking issue, interview with Michael Carrick, interview also with Anthony Crawler, and also some of the great stuff from all the usual regulars. So that's been out today. It's available to download online as well, and it's definitely worth picking up. So if you can get it today, it'll be out at the next game at Old Trafford. Anyway, cheers for listening, and we'll see you on the podcast soon.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.